What's up, everyone? This is Nicholas Dodge here, but you can call me Nick Nine for the sake of this podcast. It's been a long while since I had a podcast up and running, so I thought it would be a great idea to get back into it. This first episode is going to be something real special. Tonight, I have a text interview between myself and Claire from Best 303 Sounds. Claire is what you would call, in my mind, a mini promoter for local bands, and from what I've seen, she does a damn good job of getting small town, low rep bands out to the public domain through her website. If you're a band looking for some well-rounded advertisement, I suggest contacting Claire at best303sounds.wix.com. On top of that exciting news, I'll also be sharing my interview with Kevin Cadaver, the guitarist for Discount Cinema. If you're looking for something new with a punk rock goth taste to it, look no further. These guys have been playing venues all across the Colorado region and have an unforgettable sound. Tonight, we'll also be discussing the importance of supporting your local bands, writers, and artists, as well as discussing just why in the hell I came back to podcasting and my personal history with podcasts. But first, in my traditional way, I'd like to take a break and jam out to some music from the local trade. Here's Owl Eye with their new single, Just Like Dean Winchester.
When I turn around, you got a finger on the trigger pointed at the back of my neck, son! Fuck!
The wind's a black shit, yeah! I'm fucking dead!
My memory's flowing back!
Ridiculous, yeah!
Missing books on pieces!
Self-destiny, yeah!
We've got a roll of fun!
Ridiculous, yeah! Nothing but your structure from my back!
And welcome back! For those that are curious, if you haven't figured this out yet, Owl Eye is a hardcore alternative rock band from the heart of Denver, Colorado. I first discovered them on Facebook and immediately fell for their EP, Time Heals. Just another great band in a great city, I suppose. And since we're still on the subject of local bands, I should go ahead and read the interview between myself and Claire from Best 303 Sounds. I started out by asking Claire what it feels like to be a part of the local music scene and how she feels it would differ from working with already well-known artists. She responded saying she loves it, knowing that she's actually helping and supporting the bands has kept her going for 7 years now. She loves the energy, friendships, and passions that all the bands give with every performance. She also states she loves being called Band Mama, a name some of the band members gave her a while back. She doesn't just promote the bands either. She stated that she's there for them, to talk to them and help them with whatever they wish to talk about. Every time she drives down to see the bands play, the atmosphere and bond is just amazing. It truly is a family. She also states that it would differ significantly to work with more well-rounded and well-known artists. The band she works for need the perception. They're not well perceived, and to get those bands on the local FM radio plays, as well as the opportunity for them to play and open for touring national bands, means the world to her. Every local band should be heard, she says, supported and their music played. She also has an app located on her website that also plays sort of like a radio. It gives these bands the opportunity to be heard, no matter how many Facebook likes they have. Next, I was curious about her roots in particular. What or who actually inspired her to go out and lend a helping hand to the bands that need it most? She states that the bands do need it most. It started at the 2008 big gig at Fiddler's Green when Sky Fox opened for a number of national bands. She states that Sky Fox were amazing and they really impressed her. She says, the day after I was online looking for them and I started sharing out their music and videos so others could see how good these guys really were. Then a friend of theirs wrote to me to ask if I would check the band's music out, so I did. I also shared out this band's music, then another person wrote to me asking the same. That's how Best 303 Sounds got started. Wanting to help these musicians became a goal of mine. The passion and frustration of the local music scene I experienced when I was in a band in the UK. Yes, she is from the UK. And now she lives in Wyoming and promotes bands that play in the 303 region. So, from her experience in a country where it was easier to play, get paid, and without limitations, I saw the difficulty bands were having in Denver. Play for exposure. If you play at a particular venue, you can't play in a certain radius for 4 weeks and or without pay. I don't like what I see and feel that I have to do something about it. She helps 40 plus bands of various genres and provides a free mobile app with all the band's music and their shows located on it. She's also hooked into a multitude of social media sites. Her main website, of course, being best303sounds.wix.com. But everything from individual band pages with all their information, links, music, and so on, as well as their tours and everything else you would want to know, is on the site, and it's there for them and their audience. So initially, it's the bands and their music that inspire her to do what she does today. And then finally, I wanted to end the interview by inquiring whether she wishes to expand her business in the near future or is content with where she is now. She says, I will never be content. There is always something more I can do for the bands. Until now, I have focused on growing the family, my company, and my reputation. Everything I do is under a contract and with permission to use, share the band's intellectual properties. I want to be the good guy in the tough world of local independent music, and I hope I am perceived that way. This year, things are and will be changing. I will be investing in a new app which I will control fully. The current one is good, but I don't have free reign with it. I've opened up B303S to bands that play in the 303 area, and not just live in it, as well as opening up to solo artists, EDM, and cover bands. Sounds and best is what she's all about. 2015 will definitely be a busy year. She's planning on expanding, doing a lot more for the bands, trying to get all the bands more exposure through more media outlets, and doing the best she can for all of them. With that said, Claire is certainly interesting. I'm very thankful she was able to take the time out of her busy schedule to answer these questions with me. Until then, when we get back, I'll discuss my motives for this podcast series, as well as continue on to our interview with Kevin, the guitarist of Discount Cinema. For now, let's keep with the theme. Here's a local band from the Springs. They're Skyfight, and this is their latest single, Roswell That Ends Well. Welcome back, everyone. For those who haven't caught on quite yet, I like to mix music into my podcasts. I came across the idea after playing a video game called Alan Wake, where the main protagonist comes along these radio station signals. The player can choose to listen to what amounts to a 5 to 6 minute radio-like segment involving the radio host speaking for a moment, followed by some very pleasant music. I tried to imitate this years ago when I started up a fairly successful and well-listened to Silent Hill-themed podcast that included myself discussing news about the Silent Hill game series in particular, followed by segments of music from the original games. It's been a few years since then, and I wanted to give it one more shot with something a bit more organic and less reliant on singular themes, hence Nick Nine, where I present myself through a podcast each Saturday night, each episode with its own themes either based around music, literature, or the arts, and each with its own sort of playlist to it. I've had complaints about the amount of music I've presented in the past on my podcasts, as well as received some very pleasant compliments on my innovative outlook into podcasting. I'm very well aware of what podcasting entails. However, I just don't give a damn. For those out there looking to find their own niche, hobbies, or just need something to do on a Saturday night, such as myself, I'd say be up and ready for anything. As an all-around artist, I've integrated myself in the painting, drawing, film work, photography, music, and so on. This isn't to brag, more so I'm just admitting to probably having way too much time on my hands. Although I've always implored that others partake in these professions as well. They're not only enjoyable, but they're fun, interactive, imaginative, and best of all, they're a damn good way to kill time. Before this year began, I really thought I would be taking up film work again. Alas, I lack the finances to do so, and as such, my film career will sadly be on hold until another time. Speaking back to playlists, however, I still have another song to add in before we speak with the nightmarish Kevin Cadaver. Here's Discount Cinema with their song, Enemy. Kevin of Discount Cinema, the gothic punk rock band from Denver, Colorado. Kevin, it's nice to have you here with us.
It's nice to be here.
So, start out, can you explain the work that goes into Discount Cinema and what it's like being between a band, a job, and a family life?
Basically, there's practice once a week. We just do once a week. We've never really had more than once a week practice. That's just when we have the most time, I guess. Usually about 2 or 3 hours. We'll throw in an extra practice when we have a show, stuff like that. The writing process is mostly done between Jordan and me, and a lot of that is done in our kind of free time between practice and between jobs and things like that. We kind of just squeeze in whenever we have time, we are working on Discount Cinema stuff. The biggest challenge to that is just kind of finding the right time for everything, finding a kind of a balance, because it's like, Jordan and I being the kind of older half of the band, Jordan's married, I'm married. Jordan has a 2-year-old. Mm-hmm. Our new drummer has a 2-year-old also, so that's definitely gonna be one of those things where you just have to find the right balance. You have to work hard to make sure you are making your commitment to the band and being able to do that, but you're not neglecting your family or your job or anything. For most of us, you know, the job thing is not a huge challenge. I think Jordan has the most full-time job out of all of us. He's a school teacher, so that takes a lot of time, but he's always off in the evenings, and you know, summer's pretty much free, which we're gonna hopefully use summer to tour a little bit, do some out-of-state shows at least this year.
Out-of-state shows? What kind of state you looking towards?
Probably just kind of in this little, you know, southwest area that we're in, Utah, New Mexico, possibly Arizona, maybe a few shows in Texas, and we might go out to Nevada and maybe California if we have the money
right
to extend things out that long. We'll just kind of have to play it by ear. But then, you know, Ian's basically just a freelance artist. He's got a gallery show tonight, actually, so, you know, little plug there. If you're in the area, Atlas Theater tonight, and all through this weekend, actually, it's a 3-day event with a live freak show and a lot of really cool stuff. Anyway, so Ian does that. I'm a bartender part-time, you know. And our drummer, I don't know what he does actually right now. So
the drummer is the mystery.
Right? I guess. He's like, oh, I do stuff. And I'm like, okay, cool, whatever. I'm not gonna ask.
Does stuff. Okay.
Secret things.
Yeah, we won't ask.
So yeah, I mean, it's basically just a balancing act of like just trying to make time for everything. And I think we've gotten to the point where we can manage pretty well.
Awesome. You ever think you want all your kids to one day get together and start their own band?
We'll see how that goes, since Ian and I don't have any kids, and who knows.
Oh, that's right.
Who knows if we'll actually have any. But, you know, maybe Aaron and Jordan's daughters can have a power duo or something.
There we go. Well, excellent. Well, I was curious, do you write any of your own music outside of Discount Cinema? And if so, how does your solo work differ from your actual work with Discount Cinema?
I write a lot of music outside of the band. I've had a couple different solo projects that have kind of started up and never really completed. Mm-hmm. I would just kind of be like, oh, this would be fun to do, and I would do like a couple of songs, and then I would get kind of sidetracked by something, or the band would kind of go into full whatever mode and start really working hard, and I would have to kind of put that aside. Jordan and I had like a little side project, a two-person thing, which is kind of electro-pop. Definitely a kind of a departure from Discount Cinema. It definitely still has that electronic element. Right now I am really trying to put some actual work into a like genuine solo project, which is just going to be called Cadaver, and I'm kind of aiming towards like a really 80s kind of sound, like a Depeche Mode or like a early, you know, some of the Cure, or like Psychedelic Furs, something like that.
Gerard Way is doing the same thing.
That might have influenced me a little bit.
Okay.
I'd be lying if I said I wasn't influenced by Gerard or My Chemical Romance in what I write, definitely.
Everyone, it's confirmed. My Chemical Romance will be returning this year. Okay. Kevin, lastly, for all the upcoming artists out there, if you could provide a band with one piece of advice for performing at their very first show, what would it be?
I would say, like, I mean, our first show was at, I think, Larimer Lounge. This was 2009. There were three of us at the time. No drummer. We had all the drums on a iPod, which we plugged into the sound system, and I had to go between every song and hit start on the next one, because the way you had to set it up is, like, you had to put each song in its own playlist so that you wouldn't have, so that it wouldn't play the song and then play something random or like play the next song before you were ready to start. So I had to keep running back, finding the next playlist with the one song in it and, you know, press play on the iPod. And this was like old iPod with like the wheel and everything.
Oh, the good iPods.
Yeah, like classic, you know, 80 gig, whatever.
Oh,
iPod. I was like, 80 gigs? When will I ever? And now I have probably twice that much music. But my advice is just don't think too much about it. Like, I mean, you should practice, you should be well rehearsed. You know, take your time to kind of figure out the kind of set list you want to do. But also remember, it's your first show. And your first show is going to be kind of weird and might not be good necessarily. You're going to forget how some songs go. You're going to be off time or out of key or something. Something like that is going to happen. Just accept that something will go wrong. Something always goes wrong. Every live show, even, you know, now, 6 years into the band, multiple member changes, all that, you know, stuff still goes wrong in shows, and we just kind of have to roll with it. And, you know, if you're one of those kind of people, if you have kind of some stage fright issues or whatever, I know I was definitely really nervous before our first show. I was just like, oh my gosh, I've never really played in front of people. Like, I played some, like, basement shows in college when I was in, a crappy hardcore band. But, you know, that's not, like, a real show. It's like, okay, it's a party, and, you know, everybody's too drunk to know if we're good or not anyway.
And then they look.
And then your first show is actually pretty much like that. Most shows are like that. You just kind of have to look at it as, okay, people are out and they want to have a good time. You know, just go for it. Just try to be entertaining. And if you mess up, so what? You know, it's your first show. People don't expect that your very first show is going to be this fully produced, great sounding thing with all these, you know, that's just not expected. What's expected is that people will kind of get to hear what you've been working on and what kind of sound you're going to create.
Excellent advice. I'm actually really into that. Thanks, Kevin, so much for actually taking the time off to be here.
Thank you for having me.
No problem. Up next, we touch base on the importance of local support, not only of bands and musicians, but of writers, photographers, and so on. Until then, we're taking a quick break.
Every day, all over town, women have a question on their minds.
What should I serve for dinner tonight?
And every day, all over town, Colonel Sanders and his boys are cooking up the answer. Kentucky Fried Chicken. Every piece of that tender young chicken is seasoned in Colonel Sanders' secret recipe of 11 different herbs and spices and cooked to finger-licking good perfection. So whenever you're pressed for time, you feel like a night off, let the Colonel and his boys answer the question of what to get for dinner. Kentucky Fried Chicken.
This is Colonel Sanders, and I'm happy to say it's time for another two-for-one sale. In all of my Kentucky Fried Chicken stores across Canada, when you buy one snack pack at the regular price, you get another one free. That's my Cross Canada two-for-one sale for April the 26th only.
This flat tire needs a man, but when there's no man around, second chance.
Nick Nolan.
And welcome back, everyone. Let's get right into it, shall we? The local scene has seemingly died down in recent years. At least, that's what I've seen and have been told. Regrettably, as our society becomes more tech-savvy, we as a people become less concerned with the events surrounding us. We receive so much information each and every day that we've created a natural filter for ourselves. The backlash to this is that this filter considers what's local to be like spam mail. And to a certain degree, I can sympathize with this notion. There is, in fact, a lot of new stuff daily to take in, and we have to pick carefully what we want to like and what we just don't care enough to like. As for local artists, writers, and musicians, we need the money. It's never cheap doing what we do, whether it's paying for equipment, paying entry fees, paying for merchandise to sell, or so on. And that's not to say that other people don't need money too. What I mean to say is, if you find a local out there who really inspires you in some way, please make sure to show your gratitude towards them. Another more flattering reason to support local works is because a grand majority of it is either free or dirt cheap. We as local artisans are not connected or tied to any record labels, publishers, or managers that we owe sums of money to. In other words, we're not obligated by any outside source and are usually more than happy to provide you our works just for the attention, the likes, retweets, and reblogs, so on. Lastly, you're becoming a greater part of your community. You're innovating yourself into a culture that is your own. Not only does it check off your good deeds list for the week, it also feels great just being there for and with people just like you attempting to make a living out of something outside the everyday, making a living out of something that they absolutely love to do. With that said, we're nearing the end of our night. What a night it's been. Before we go, I'd like to remind everyone listening that this podcast is streamable through both Bandcamp and on my Facebook page, as well as my website. And if you haven't already, please go and like my page on Facebook by searching artist Nicholas Dodge in the tab above. If you thoroughly enjoyed this first episode, then please go check out more of my works at www.artistnicholasdodge.com. Of course, once again, thanks for listening. It wouldn't be right to end the episode without one last song, so tonight I've taken the extra opportunity to introduce my own work to you. This is my latest single, Never Enough. Thanks again. Good night, everyone.
Twice.
seat for considering the attitude at which you present your prestige, commitment to authority, and break your motherfucking place in line. This time there is no room for a perfect mistake.
This is the direction the world is going in at the present time.
I could give you everything and it wouldn't be enough. I could be somebody special, but not someone you want. I could end up flawless, but never perfect in your eyes. I would choose to be yours if you were anybody else. If I could be you, if I ever wanted to, something I'd never do. If I were you, I'd die for the greater good. If I wanted to, someone I'd never be. Too damn selfish for me
to be drawn from this dangerous